Or maybe that's my receding hairline. I glanced from the photo to Carlos and back. He was right. His nose was thinner, despite the possible break. Looking past the nose, hairline, and scars, Carlos was his own man. He jerked his head toward the other room.
I have to finish framing. I've got orders to fill. So unless you want to look at some of my other work...
He trailed off and frowned.
Will I see you again?
He'd better. I wanted to watch him work, the way I used to watch James, so I needed a reason to hang around. His workshops. The idea popped into my head and I slid the brochure from my pocket. I'd love to do one of your art classes. The corner of his mouth twitched.
Really?
They sound exciting.
Have you painted before?
I bit my lower lip. Does finger painting count?
He laughed. No, it doesn't. Besides, my workshops are weekdays. Tomorrow's Saturday, and you said yourself you're here only for a few days.
My shoulders slumped, and my mind cranked. I wanted a reason to see him again, something believable and not lame. Something that didn't make me a crazy woman stalking her deceased fiancé's look-alike. Carlos yanked the cloth from his back pocket and rolled the edges between his fingers.
Tell you what, meet me here tomorrow at 10. We'll do the basics workshop if you promise to grab some lunch with me afterward. Sound good?
I smiled. Sounds wonderful. A warm glow expanded through me. By lunch tomorrow, I'd know if Carlos was James. I scanned the shoulder-to-shoulder crowd in the hotel's beach cafe. Ian had said he would meet me, but I didn't see him. My phone vibrated with a new text message.
Look behind you.
I spun around. Ian waved from a table for two by the deck's edge.
You walked right by me, he said,
when I sat in the seat across from him. I scooted in my chair and glanced around. The beach below was packed, especially farther down the strip where sun worshippers watched brave souls on boards master the Mexican pipeline. I had no idea we'd arrive in the middle of this chaos.
Me neither. Isn't this great?
I nodded at the laptop on the table. How the heck are you getting anything done?
I have an incredible ability to shut out noise. Check this out.
He tapped a few keys and swung his laptop around, so the monitor faced me. Displayed on the screen was an image of an enormous wave, curling over a surfer narrowly escaping the diminishing water tube. Ian had edited the photo to pop with color. Sunlight sparkled in the water's vivid turquoise hues.
I've titled the picture The Mexican Pipeline, for obvious reasons.
It's incredible. When did you take it?
This morning, before the sun was too intense. You should have seen the water, Ames. Those waves are insane. I'm guessing 15 or 20 feet, and the tubes are deep, making for some tough rides.
Eyes wide with excitement, Ian talked with his hands. He demonstrated the motion of the waves and how they broke off the shore. He turned the laptop around, and his fingers flew over the keyboard.
I've been tweaking photos, seeing which ones I'll use at my next showing.
I snagged a cold fry from his plate. He looked at me from over his screen.
What have you been up to? Don't tell me.
He raised a hand, palm flat.
You found Carlos and got him to confess he's James.
Ha ha, not funny. But yes, I met with him. I popped another fry. Ian pushed his plate toward me.
You should have told me. I wanted to go with you.
He had already left for the beach when I woke this morning. When he hadn't returned after I finished breakfast, I'd grown impatient and walked to the studio on my own. I was perfectly safe. He scowled.
How can you be certain? You admitted last night you weren't sure Carlos was James. He could be a mass murderer for all you know.
I rolled my eyes. Between you and Kristen, I'll be dead by tomorrow morning.
If you keep running off to meet with strangers...
Ian! He tossed up his hands. I won't apologize for being cautious.
Promise you'll be careful. At the very least, let me know when you leave, just in case.
I chewed a soggy fry. Fine.
Thank you.
Ian sighed, relieved.
So tell me what happened. I spent 45 minutes playing Peeping Tom from across the street until I went inside and spoke with Carlos. And? And nothing. I can't figure him out. Carlos is leaner and tanner. Even his hair is lighter than James's.
Simple explanation, sun and aging.
True, his scent is familiar, and some of his hand gestures are the same. His face is different. Thinner nose, narrower cheekbones. Almost as if he wore a mask. Anyhow, I shrugged. I have a few more days, so I'm going to spend time getting to know him. I registered for an art workshop. Ian snorted.
What?
You. Painting. He chuckled, playing with his keyboard.
Shut up,
I grumbled and ate another fry. If he is James, there has to be a reason why he doesn't recognize me, don't you think? He must have amnesia. What else can it be? My gut tells me...
You're hungry.
He flagged a waitress who stopped mid-stride beside our table and pointed in my direction. A hamburger, please, with lots of fries. I grinned at Ian.
And to drink?
She asked, sounding harried as her pencil scratched over her memo pad.
She'll have a beer, Ian suggested.
I'll have a Mai Tai.
Ian hooted, smacking his hand on the table.
Make that two.
Anything else for you?
The waitress asked him. Her eyes peeked at his laptop. She pointed her pencil tip to the screen.
Is that Lucy?
Ian paused, his gaze snapping from me to our waitress, Angelina, according to her name tag.
Do you know her?
He asked, sitting straighter in his seat.
She reminds me of Imelda Rodriguez's friend. Mrs. Rodriguez is the hotel manager,
she clarified when Ian frowned.
Lucy stayed here several weeks ago, and the woman in the picture looks like her. She visits a lot.
There was a shout from the bar. Angelina glanced over her shoulder.
I'll be right back with your drinks.
What was that all about? I asked after she left. Ian showed me the laptop screen. Displayed was the picture I'd texted him of Lacey. He'd edited the image, enhancing Lacey, Lainey, Lucy, or whatever her given name was. Surfing photos weren't the only images Ian had been tweaking. He looked poignantly at me.
Don't stop listening to your gut.
My stomach growled, echoing Ian's sentiment. Chapter 21. I went to the beach after lunch while Ian sought Imelda. He wanted information about Lacey and insisted on meeting Imelda alone. He wouldn't explain why he needed to locate Lacey, who he referred to as Lainey, only that she could help him find something he'd lost. If Ian learned of Lacey's whereabouts, he promised to give me her contact information. I wanted to know where she got James's Meadow Glade and who had asked her to find me. A young couple vacated their lounge chairs as I approached. Honeymooners. The woman's diamond ring gleamed in the sunlight. She smiled as she passed, wrapping her arm around the man's waist. I watched them walk away, mindful I'd been twirling my engagement ring around my finger. Soap and time had dulled the precious metal. I tossed my beach bag and an extra towel on the spare lounge to save a spot for when Ian joined me later, and then adjusted the sun umbrella to expose my legs and shade my face. November was cold at home, and the afternoon Mexican sun felt warm and inviting. Crowds gathered at the tournament farther down the beach. The loudspeaker crackled with announcements every few moments, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers played in the background. Neither tuned out the waves violently slamming the shore. They roared like thunder. A waiter moved into view, blocking the Pacific. I ordered a pitcher of ice water with two glasses and another Mai Tai. Settling into the chair, I read a book to pass the time. Ian's meeting should be done soon, and I wouldn't see Carlos until the following morning. The waiter returned with my water and cocktail and arranged the drinks on the wooden table between the chairs. My cell phone pinged with an incoming text message as I signed the check to my room number.
Gracias, señorita,
he said when I returned the bill. He then trudged through the blistering sand to another hotel guest sunbathing nearby. I sipped the Mai Tai and checked my phone. Another message from Kristen.
Don't forget to call me, or I'm flying to Mexico, booking a ticket in 3, 2.
I called her back. She picked up on the first ring,
Thank God you're still alive.
Alive and kicking. Is my cafe still standing?
Of course. Why wouldn't...
She huffed.
Everything's fine. I'm fine. Nadia's fine. So yeah, we are all good, including Alan.
Mr. Gurley Coffee. I rubbed my brow. What about him?
He came to the cafe this morning for his usual and was disappointed you weren't here. He's really interested in you.
That's nice, I drawled. Too bad I'm not interested in him.
Could it be because you're interested in Ian? And oh my gosh, she gasped. He's traveling with you. Imagine that.
Kristen, I warned.
He thinks the world of you, and you've pretended not to notice. I've noticed, I blurted in defense.
You have?
Then do something about it.
I can't. James, Kristen groaned dramatically.
Look, Amy, all weirdness aside, I'm sure Lacey is lying. Come home. Just because she sent James's painting from Mexico doesn't mean he's there.
But he is. I found him.
What?
She croaked.
I mean, I think I did. It's Carlos, the gallery's owner, but he looks different.
You're not making sense, which is why I need more time, a few more days.
Kristen was quiet. I watched surfers chase an elusive swell, only to get back on their boards and try again.
When are you coming home? She asked.
My flight leaves Monday morning. I wondered if James would be on the plane with me. Could we pick up our lives where we'd left off?
Not a chance. I knew in my heart things would never be the same with James, and it made me almost as sad as I'd been when he died.
Be safe, Kristen said.
I sighed. I will.
Oh, she exclaimed before I disconnected the call. I almost forgot. Thomas came into the cafe this morning. He asked about you. I told him you were in Puerto Escondido.
My body tensed. I lunged upright and swung my feet off the chaise, mentally smacking my forehead. I should have told them not to mention anything to Thomas.
Did you tell him why?
Only that you needed a vacation. He got all funny about it, too. Asked me all sorts of questions. He wanted to know why you'd picked that spot and if you'd planned the vacation or the trip was a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing.
Do you think he was simply curious?
He could have been, but you know, Thomas, he's been so weird lately.
Ian walked up and smiled when he saw me on the phone. I motioned for him to sit, and he tossed aside my towel, stretching out on the neighboring chaise.
Ian's here. I should go, I said to Kristen. And when she asked, I promised to call before my flight.
The sun dipped lower on the horizon, the heat sweltering. I squinted at Ian.
Any luck with Imelda?
He shook his head as he poured water into the spare cup. Condensation had collected on the outside of the pitcher and dripped onto the sand.
I wanted to ask about Lacey and what he'd lost. I wanted to support him the way he'd been helping me. And I wanted his trust. I would keep his deepest, most personal secrets close to my heart.
I wanted him.
Air whooshed from my lungs. Why was I feeling this way now? What the heck was wrong with me? James was the man I want. I was here for James.
Imelda didn't have time to meet, Ian was saying, so I have an appointment late tomorrow morning.
He drank half the glass in two large gulps. She asked about you, though.
My brows lifted.
Me?
She wants to know what you think of Carlos's gallery.
How does she know you're here with me?
I twisted my hair into a messy bun. Maybe she saw us together.
Ian shrugged.
Ask her. She offered to treat you to lunch tomorrow.
I'm having lunch with Carlos.
He glowered.
Grab a drink with her afterward.
What a strange request. I wiped the sweat off my forehead with a towel corner. I barely spoke with her yesterday.
She's the hotel manager. Maybe she's being a gracious host.
I stared pointedly at Ian.
You don't believe that, do you?
Not for an instant,
he said without hesitation. We studied each other. I sensed Ian had something to say, but he remained quiet. After a moment, I readjusted the umbrella and Ian launched his laptop.
Research, he told me.
I returned to my book. 30 minutes or so later, he complained about the sun, wiping the sweat off his neck.
Since the ocean's too damn dangerous, I'll be at the pool,
he grumbled, standing to fold his towel. He gazed across the surf and pointed.
Look, even the pros need a tow from the break area.
I shielded my eyes with my hand and watched jet skis, water rescue sleds in tow, jam over the swells further offshore. They aimed for the borders, treading water waiting for a shuttle to shore. Ian shut down his laptop and slipped it into his bag. He threw his towel over his shoulder.
Coming to the pool?
In a little bit. After he left, I rubbed sunscreen on my legs. The waiter returned with a fresh water pitcher and I ordered another Mai Tai. I settled into the chaise and closed my eyes, leaving the book opened across my thigh.
Amy.
My eyes snapped open. I squinted against the intense sunlight and glanced at the silhouette, standing at the end of my chair. Rough material brushed across my legs.
Your skin is burned.
Carlos. He bent over, blocking the sun, and adjusted the spare towel he'd placed over me. I sat upright and pulled my legs into the umbrella shade. Carlos turned around and called out in Spanish to three men standing by the water. He motioned for them to go ahead without him. They waved and continued walking along the beach toward town. He nodded at my table.
Pedro makes great Mai Tais. How's yours?
The drink I'd ordered sat on the table in a condensation puddle. I frowned. How long had I been asleep? Long enough to fry. My shins burned.
Pedro's the bartender at Casa del Sol,
Carlos clarified, mistaking my confused silence. He pointed at the edge of my chaise.
May I?
Sure. I shifted when he sat, adjusting my balance against the dip in the chair to compensate for his weight. He smiled and leaned over, picking up my book in the sand. The paperback had fallen while I slept. He shook off the sand before marking my page and put the book on the table. The crowd from earlier had dissipated. The competition done for the day. Carlos still wore last year's tournament shirt, but had replaced his jeans with board shorts. His forehead glistened from the sun's heat. Were you at the competition? I asked.
For a little bit. The competitors are good this year.
Do you serve?
Not in the last 2 years.
He pointed to his face near the scar angling around his left eye.
I was messed up pretty bad. My cheekbones and nose were reset. Medical care in this region is still last century. I took a while to recover.
He gave me a lopsided grin. My mouth fell open. Holy shit, he must have hit his head hard enough to lose his memories. Total blackout. The accident and facial surgery explained why his bone structure was different from James's, but not the memory loss. Wouldn't he have tried to figure out who he was? Why hadn't he returned home? He seemed completely unaware of his identity before the accident. I was about to ask Carlos when Ian approached. He'd switched his laptop for a camera. Carlos stood when Ian stopped beside my chair. Ian's thigh brushed my upper arm. I had to catch myself from leaning into his nearness.
I didn't mean to interrupt, he said. No problemo.
Carlos thumbed in the direction his friends went.
I should go.
Ian extended his hand toward Carlos.
I'm Ian, by the way. Sí, Ian. El amigo.
He gripped Ian's hand.
Carlos. Nice to meet you.
Ian stole a glance at me before he said to Carlos,
I've seen the flyers for your gallery. Your paintings are good.
Gracias.
Is all the artwork yours?
Carlos slipped his hands into side pockets.
Only the paintings. The sculptures were done by my friend, Joaquin.
Ian crossed his arms.
I'm curious as to why you sign your paintings JCD. What's the J stand for?
Ian. Carlos's mouth lifted in a half grin.
Honest question. My full name is Jaime Carlos Dominguez.
I sucked in a breath. James Charles Donato. My pulse thrummed loudly in my ears. The initials were too much of a coincidence for them not to mean anything. Carlos smiled at me.
Tomorrow at 10?
I nodded, stone-faced. He grinned and jogged after his friends.
You okay?
Ian asked me and then frowned.
Let's get out of the sun. You look pale.
I gave him a blank stare. I'm fine. I stood to put on my swim cover and weaved. Ian pushed on my shoulder.
Sit down. Drink some water.
He filled my cup, looking worried,
Slowly, he said when I gulped the sun-warmed liquid. While I waited for the dizziness to subside, Ian folded my towels and packed the beach bag. As we walked to the hotel, he wrapped an arm around me. It's almost dinner time and you need food. Let's freshen up and eat. My treat. He could have offered to fly me to the moon and I would have accepted. Between Carlos and the sun, my head was a hot mess. I leaned into him and he supported my weight as we walked back to the hotel. Chapter 22. By the time Ian arrived at my room, I'd settled on a blue sundress I knew he liked. My hands shook while fastening the tiny bodice buttons. I left the top two undone, then decided to unbutton one more. I checked my reflection one last time and marveled at how calm I looked, despite my heart's rapid fluttering. While the afternoon sun had left me feeling lightheaded, I couldn't help thinking tonight's dinner felt like a date. My first ever, first date. James and I had already been too comfortable with each other when he'd taken me to a movie as boyfriend and girlfriend. We'd known each other for years and had been to plenty of movies together. Ian knocked, and I jolted, spinning to look at the door. Gripping the knob, I jerked the door open. It crashed into the wall.
Whoa!
Ian smacked his palm against the door to keep it from hitting my backside. He wore a fitted V-neck black shirt, flat-front khakis, and flip-flops, and he smelled remarkable. Shower fresh and beachy. He smiled, his mouth pulling up on one side. It made him look too sexy for our dinner to be a casual night between friends. The camera strap across his chest caught my attention. It was twisted. I straightened the strap with trembling fingers. He pressed my palm against his chest.
Relax.
I can't. The room started spinning. I stared at his chest and leaned into him.
Look at me,
he said in a raspy tone. Our gazes met.
Let's forget about the cafe and the next exhibit. Forget about Lainey Lacey and why we're here. Tonight it's just us. No one else. Can we do that?
I nodded, unable to look away from him. There was something in his voice, the smooth cadence of his words. I thought about more than Ian kissing me, and wondered how he'd feel over me. Naked. What did his skin feel like under his shirt? My fingers curled into the cotton. God, I must have sunstroke to be thinking like this. Ian twined his fingers around mine and pulled me into the hallway.
You look flushed. Let's get some food in you.
He made reservations at the resort's restaurant on the second-level beach terrace. It overlooked the pool deck. We ordered, and after the waitress left, fell silent. I watched him fidget with his utensils, nudging the forks on his napkin and checking the knife's sharpness. He was as nervous as I was, and I found that amazing. I knew he cared for me deeply, yet he still followed me across the globe as I chased another man.
I would search every corner of the earth.
Ian's words echoed in my head. He was either very stupid or very much in love. With me. I glanced away.
What are you thinking?
He asked, quietly. A flush crept across my cheeks. I cleared my throat. I'm thinking about you, us, why you're here. I boldly admitted.
Why did you come with me?
He watched me for what seemed like eons.
I lost someone very dear to me because I didn't go after her. I was angry and hurt, so I let her go. But once my anger faded, I realized it wasn't her fault she hurt me. She couldn't help who she was. By then it was too late. She was long gone and I had no idea where.
He turned his attention to the ocean, the breeze rustling his hair. It didn't occur to me to be jealous of this woman who held his heart. His pain seemed too deep and old. Instead, I itched to run my fingers through the waves on his head to soothe him.
Who was she?
My mother. He leaned toward me, covered my hand with his.
Because of her, I learned not to let go too easily of the people I want in my life. Friends, people I care about a lot. His thumb caressed my fingers. I care about you, Amy. More than you know. I felt the full impact of his words. They raced up my arm from where he touched me, electrons charging my skin. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you invited me to dinner. This is nice. He tucked an errant curl behind my ear.
I'm willing to bet the food won't compare to yours, but I'm just happy to be here with you.
Our dinner has yet to arrive, and you're already bashing it. He chuckled. I eat out a lot because of my traveling, but these past months you've given me a cooked meal to take home every afternoon. Makes it hard to try something else when I already have the best.
His expression darkened, a reflection of sadness in the candlelight's soft glow.
It'll be a shame if you don't return to the cafe. Your talent's too good to waste. It needs to be showcased.
Like your photos?
He nodded. There's magic in your recipes. I think you accomplished what you set out to do. You've created a unique coffee experience, and your customers return because your food and drinks make them feel good. It's like how Belize Sunrise makes you want to go there. True artists elicit an emotional response through their work. You, Ames, are an artist.
I blushed and inclined my head. Ian's compliment made me itch to dance and sing, but his concern worried me. I'm not going to abandon my cafe.
What about Carlos?
He asked.
In all likelihood, he's James. What if he doesn't want to leave Mexico? Will you stay with him?
Ian didn't hide his fear. It was there in his expression, the tightness in his shoulders. He was afraid of losing me. I hope it doesn't come to that. But I knew eventually I would have to make a choice.
The waitress arrived with our food, and after we ate and Ian paid the bill, he surveyed his camera, adjusting the lens and settings. I watched the moonlight ripple on the ocean, the clicks and beeps from Ian's camera background noise.
A faint smile touched my lips. I would always associate those sounds with him. Tonight we agreed not to discuss the cafe or his photography, but we still talked shop, and it didn't bother me. I loved how passionate he was about his work. I loved... Ian snapped a picture of me. Light flashed, scattering my thoughts. I blinked.
Why did you do that?
You're beautiful.
He studied the digital image.
You were admiring the ocean, and I liked your expression. It was serene.
Oh. I folded the napkin in my lap.
I hadn't seen that look on you before, and I wanted to capture it.
He showed me the image. I caught a quick glimpse before he turned off the camera, leaving me with the impression I'd been looking at a stranger.
How are your pictures turning out?
He hadn't taken many landscape shots, mostly local culture and activity, pictures of people.
Not as bad as I thought.
That's because you're really good.
He shrugged a shoulder.
I haven't always liked my work.
Emotions played across his face. Unease settled in the fine lines above his cheekbones. I stroked his fingers with my thumb.
I think your work likes you. You find beauty where others don't see it, or rather they choose to ignore. You have a gift.
Ian grunted. He put the cap back on the lens.
A few people here agreed to be my subjects and let me exhibit their image. Do you mind if I show pictures I've taken of you?
I leaned away.
Me?
I wouldn't sell them. I couldn't sell you.
He said, almost as an afterthought. He set his camera aside.
I'll have Wendy send you a release form when we get home.
He pointed to my empty plate.
Are you done?
I nodded.
Good. Let's go see what kind of trouble we can get into.
He grinned wickedly and I laughed. We went to the lounge for a cocktail. A mariachi band performed on a small stage that opened the pool patio. It glowed under a canopy of white twinkle lights. Ian snagged my arm, dragging me onto the dance floor, and I squealed.
It's too late to tell me you don't like to dance, he said over the trumpets.
I never said I don't like to dance, I yelled by his ear. I love to dance. It's the music. It's so...
so... peppy?
Polka-ish.
He raised bent arms, clapping by his left shoulder before shifting to his right, his movements exaggerated. Giggling, I mimicked him, spinning in a circle, arms raised. My skirt flared around my thighs. He snapped a picture when I came around. Stop! I chided and grabbed at the camera. He moved out of reach. I planted fists on my hips. We had an agreement. Put that thing away. Wait here. He retreated to the bar where he conversed with the bartender, handing over the camera and cash. The bartender tucked the camera away and slipped the bills into his pocket. The music slowed. Brass horns emitted seductive notes. Guitar strings plucked a rhythm that tempted a sway from my hips. Ian approached, and our gazes met across the dance floor. My lips parted. The intensity and determination in his eyes kept me rooted to my spot. He closed the distance and gathered me in his arms. A shiver coursed through me, and something akin to hunger. I pressed closer. His hands moved up my body, achingly slow, until he cupped my face. He brushed his thumb across my lips, and then he kissed me. It was hot and desperate and tender all at once. We moved over the dance floor, our bodies in sync. The music grew louder, our lips bolder, tongues tangling. Then I remembered where we were and why I was here. What are we doing? I gasped into his mouth. What are you doing to me? I could hardly keep track of my thoughts. Kissing you, he murmured against my lips, loving you. He kissed me as no other man had, and until this moment, I'd been kissed by only one other man who mattered. But that was long ago, and I had a hard time remembering how those kisses felt. My thoughts jumbled. I was confused about what Ian was doing to me. I was confused about how I felt toward him, and I was confused about him. I should be pushing him away instead. I held on. His hands moved over my back, frantic. His lips were everywhere, my jaw, my chin, the length of my neck. His tongue traced my pulse point, making me hyper-aware of every inch of skin. It was too much. I tore my mouth away. "Why are you doing this?" I panted. "Why now?" His lips skimmed across my cheek. He nipped my ear. "I couldn't compete with a dead guy. You worshipped him." "So I wouldn't forget him," I cried, desperate. I felt out of control. Ian dug his fingers into my hair and seared his gaze with mine. "He's alive, Amy. Flesh and blood. That I can compete with." "This isn't a game, Ian. I'm not some sort of prize." His eyes hardened. "You could never be a prize. You are so much more than that to me. You deserve so much more than what you allow yourself to feel." I was feeling all right. I was ready to burst with the sensations Ian's gaze alone stirred within me, let alone the way he touched my skin, how his mouth worked my lips. What was going on with me? Push him away. Focus on why you're here. "You're my employee," I said, lamely. "Then I quit." His mouth descended hard on mine. He groaned. Or was that me? I trailed my fingers down his chest as I felt myself falling, letting go of everything safe and familiar. "God, I'm here for James." I shoved him, breaking our kiss. His eyes, dark and stormy, bored into mine. He showed me everything. "Ian, I love you. Don't love me, Amy." My world crumbled. "I can't." I burst into tears and ran from the lounge. I found a darkened corner in the lobby and sank onto a wicker chair. My blood thrummed and heart raced. Ian hadn't cracked the barrier I'd erected around myself. He'd blasted the wall with dynamite, blown it to bits. He had made me see him. Movement across the lobby caught my attention. Ian headed toward the elevators, his expression grim. He was going up to his room, and he'd forgotten his camera. I jumped from the chair and returned to the bar, convincing the bartender to give me the camera. I return to my corner in the lobby, unable to resist skimming through the digital photos. They were phenomenal. Split seconds of life, caught in brilliant color. Every image had a story to tell, including mine. I stared at the picture Ian had taken at dinner and saw someone I didn't recognize. Actually, someone I hadn't seen in a very long time. Me, pleasantly at ease, unguarded. A woman in love. Air rushed from my lungs. My stomach tightened. I shook my head in denial, but the truth stared back at me. When he snapped the picture, I'd been thinking about how much I loved Ian's passion for his work, about how much I loved him. Oh, Ian. I turned off the camera and rushed to his room, knocking loudly. He yanked open the door and my breath snagged. He glared at me, shirtless with pajama bottoms slung low on his hips. I was done for. "Can I come in?" I showed him the camera. He nudged the door wider and kept it open after I'd entered. I lifted the strap over my head, but didn't give him the camera. Not yet. "I looked at your pictures," I admitted. Loud, raucous laughter drifted from the hall, late-night partiers returning to their rooms. Ian let the door swing shut and crossed his arms, his neck muscles flexing. He wasn't happy. I swallowed. "I'm sorry, but once I started, I couldn't stop. I know you don't like to exhibit portraits. Something about it makes you uncomfortable. I get that. But your work is amazing, beyond brilliant." I moistened my lips and dared a step closer. They moved me. He motioned for the camera. I took another step closer. "You move me." "Ames," he growled, "I can't do this. I can't start with you and have you push me away. I'd rather stay friends if you don't want me that way. Give me the camera." I put it on the chair beside me. "I won't push you away." Our gaze is locked. His jaw tightened. It was the only warning I had. 1 second he was by the door, the next he was pressed fully against me. His fingers plunged through my hair and his mouth landed on mine. The storm I'd awakened in him earlier took over. My hands skimmed up his chest and curved around his neck and head. I didn't want him to end the kiss. His hands raced over my shoulders and down my back. He unzipped my dress. The material floated to the floor and he followed, pulling down my panties. Then he stood in front of me and I couldn't stop touching him. The smooth plane of his chest, the shallow dip in his lower back. He was hard, where I was soft. Strong, where I was weak. He was my friend, and I couldn't stop myself from falling for him. He cupped my breasts, forcing a gasp from me, and pushed me toward the bed until I was sitting on the edge. He dropped to his knees and rested his hands on my thighs, spreading my legs. I was open to him, exposed, and his eyes caught mine. One last chance to stop. One last chance to tell him this wasn't what I wanted. He wasn't who I wanted. But I wanted him. All of him. I nodded. He groaned, the sound primal, and bent his head. I cried out at the touch of his tongue, the caress of his mouth. I clutched his head, holding him to me, and shattered. Then he was gone. My eyes snapped open. Ian stood before me, shoving down his pants. There was no denying how much he wanted me. He climbed on the mattress and dragged me up to the pillows, settling his weight over me. He reached to the side table, sliding open the drawer. "Ian," I cried. "I'm here, baby," he whispered in my ear. I heard foil tear. He shifted, adjusting, and entered me fully. "I love you," he said. Then he started to move. I latched onto him, barely keeping up with the sensation sliding over me, in me. "Fall for me, Amy. I'll catch you." He thrust harder, and I felt him touch my soul. "Let go, baby." I did, falling hard over the edge, shuddering. And Ian was there to catch me. I slowly opened my eyes and took in the room. Ian's room. I lay prone in his bed, listening to him breathe. I found the steady intake and release comforting, and I imagined waking beside him every morning. A soft smile danced on my lips. It was early. Only a whisper of light seeped through the partially open balcony, and I was wide awake. I'd slept hard through the night, the best sleep I'd had in months. Ian had loved me well into the night, doing things to my body I'd never imagined possible, and things to my heart I'd never dreamed. Remembering, my entire body flushed under the sheet. Then reality let itself in the room, and the euphoria of last night's lovemaking dissipated like water on a hot griddle. I'd betrayed my feelings for James. I'd betrayed myself. Tears leaked from the corners of my eyes as I eased from the bed, careful not to shake the mattress. I didn't dare look at Ian. I didn't dare allow myself a peek at how gorgeous I imagined he was in the morning, sleep-rumpled and sexy. Vulnerable. I slipped into my clothes and picked up my sandals and then left the room. But before the door closed, I stole a glance. He watched me with a bewildered expression, and I felt my heart fragment in two. One part for James. The other. I left with Ian. Chapter 23. I arrived at El Studio del Pintor 15 minutes before class because I was tired of wandering the beach. I'd left the hotel before Ian came looking for me. I'd hurt him, and I wasn't ready to deal with last night. But everything reminded me of what we'd done. My skirt brushed against the places he'd touched, still sensitive from the night before. The salty air tasted of his skin, and the breeze caressing my neck felt like his kisses. Ian had pushed me to heights I hadn't been bold enough to climb with anyone else. Then I'd let go, like he asked, and invited him inside my heart. He didn't belong there, even though I knew I'd let him in long before Mexico. My heart was supposed to be reserved for James. He was the reason I was here. A young woman greeted me upon entering the gallery. She raised espresso eyes and put aside the paperback novel she was reading. Hola, ¿cómo está? Muy bien, gracias. I answered the question with an apologetic smile. I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish. Her eyes widened. You're the beautiful American woman Carlos told me about. My brows lifted and I pointed at my chest. Me? She giggled. Sí. I probably shouldn't have said anything, but Carlos mentioned more than once you were coming this morning. She walked around the desk and shook my hand. I'm Pia. I work the Saturday shift because he is never here on Saturdays. She emphasized never with a wave of her hands. Sí, you must mean something to him. Interesting. Why do you think so? I switched my bag to the other shoulder. My fingers trembled. I was anxious and nervous to see Carlos. Saturdays are for painting and... She wrinkled her nose. Running. He runs a lot. Isn't he training for a marathon? He told you? She asked, incredulous, then assessed me from head to sandal-clad feet. Carlos can't figure you out. You want art lessons and you don't like to paint. I think he can't figure you out because he can't get you out of his head. She tapped a finger against her temple. How come? I gave her a blank look. I don't understand what you mean. She narrowed her eyes. Why do you want to paint? You like Carlos, don't you? He's an excellent painter. And I did like him. No, I loved him. I should have left Ian's camera at the bar. Then I wouldn't have gone to his room. God, I still wore James's engagement ring. Carlos is an excellent painter, Pia was saying, but never on Saturdays. See, he likes you. I'm so happy for him. He's been so sad after he lost. She smacked her forehead and giggled. I said too much as usual, but I like you, so I'll keep quiet. Carlos is upstairs. She pointed out the door. Go back to the courtyard and take the stairs through the door on the left. Thanks, I said. It was nice meeting you.
Have fun, she called as the door swung closed behind me.
I went through the doorway Pia directed and up the narrow stairwell. The stairs opened to a room ablaze in natural light. Skylights dotted the ceiling. Large windows overlooked the street below. The blue ocean, a thin line above the rooftops. Artwork in differing mediums, pastels, oils, acrylics, ink, and charcoal, decorated the walls. Rows of easels filled the room, aligned classroom style with one easel in front. Carlos's spot. I called his name. He didn't answer. Where was he? I had no idea what to expect. I didn't enjoy painting, but I wanted time with him. I would study him and the way he painted. Was he left-handed too? Did he organize his brushes by bristle width and texture? James had done that. Along the southern wall were three doors, the first wide open, revealing a storage closet packed with pigment tubes, brushes, turpentine cans, and blank canvases. I tried the middle door and found it locked. Feeling like Goldilocks, looking for the just-right room that held Carlos, I tested the third door. It swung open. The room was brighter than the main room, and I squinted, my eyes adjusting. An easel stood in the center of the room beside a table laden with paint tubes and soiled rags. Tin cans, mason jars, and mugs held brushes and palette knives. Stacks of canvases, some finished, others with scenes abandoned halfway through completion, leaned against the adjacent wall. The style was so reminiscent of James. I instantly knew they'd been painted by Carlos. This was his private studio. I moved farther into the room and stopped short. A sudden coldness hit my core, burning the way your esophagus does when you swallow too many ice chips. Propped against the back wall, behind the table and out of view from the doorway, were James's missing paintings. Holy shit! How did they get here? When did they get here? I jerked my head around the room. Aside from Carlos's more recent paintings beside me, all the others belonged to James. Everything except the woman painted on the canvas in the far corner of the room. She lured me with her Caribbean blue eyes. My eyes. There had to be a dozen paintings of this woman, hidden from view unless you came fully into the room. I doubted Carlos invited any visitors into his studio. He didn't want people to see these paintings. I studied the woman closely on the first canvas. The almond-shaped eyes and contoured brows resembled me, but the blue hue of the irises was slightly off. I flipped to the next canvas. She had been painted from a different angle, as though Carlos gazed down at her. The hair and eye shades still resembled me. I picked through the canvases like folders in a filing cabinet. The model's coloring moved further from my shades, deeper into the stack, the dates on the paintings getting older. Each painting was different from the next, in the way Carlos might have visualized the woman, but couldn't achieve the perfect match of color on canvas. They were flawed replicas of me, like the signature paint he used wasn't a perfect match of James's blue. Why had Carlos been painting me, if he didn't remember me? Why did he deny he was James? Sweat broke across my body. Wispy tendrils of hair clung to the back of my neck. My thoughts chaotic, my gaze jumped around the room, landing on the canvas clamped to the easel. It was another version of me. This one had eyes identical to the color and shape of mine. Because Carlos has seen my eyes. I thought I'd imagined his confusion the other day when I lifted my sunglasses, pleading he remember me. On the table was a plastic container of custom-mixed paint. I unscrewed the lid and a sob escaped me. Carlos had finally done it. James's Caribbean blue. Oh, James. I found you. I noticed random things around the room. Pink tubes squeezed in the middle like tubes of toothpaste. Clean brushes ordered by bristle width and texture. Tools and supplies positioned on the left side of the easel because he was left-handed, just like James. Water ran in the next room, the one with the locked door. A handle unlatched, the floor creaked.
and Carlos appeared in the doorway. He hesitated and blinked. I pointed at the canvas on the easel. Do you mind explaining this? He clenched his jaw, and his eyes narrowed on the paint jug I held. His studio was probably off-limits to students, and my presence had taken him off guard. But the unlocked door had invited me inside, giving me a peek at the image haunting him from a life he didn't remember, or had chosen to forget. My arms stiffened around the paint jug. What if James hadn't wanted to marry me? What if he'd chosen art over me? What if his family's demands with the business had forced him to give everything up, including me? He'd stolen his own paintings, faked his death, and moved away. Started over. On some level, I understood my thoughts didn't add up. They didn't make sense, except for one. James hadn't wanted me. My eyes widened at the realization. Then 19 months of baggage cascaded down my cheeks in the shape of big, fat tears. Carlos rubbed his face with both hands. His gaze skirted the room, finally resting on me.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I swore profusely. Everything. I'm confused. I roughly wiped my cheeks against my shoulders. I'm happy I found you and sad you left. Fuck! I scowled at him. What the hell are you doing here, James? He stiffened.
I am not James.
Then explain this. I jabbed a finger at my image on the easel. And these? I pointed to James's canvases propped against the wall. Can you tell me why none of those scenes are places in Mexico? Did you know they're in California? Don't you find that odd? His eyes flared.
First of all, this is my studio. It's private. Second, these paintings are none of your damn business.
They are when you're painting me, I blasted. That's not you, he fired back.
I didn't know you until 2 days ago. She's...
He swore, rounding the easel and jerked a finger at the canvas.
I dream about that woman almost every night. It's the same damn dream over and over and...
His voice tapered, and he looked away. He was embarrassed, maybe ashamed. Perhaps he was infuriated with himself, remembering none of this was my business.
I've never told anyone about her. Not even...
He stopped and shook his head. Have you wondered why you dream about her? I asked.
Constantly.
Have you tried to find her? His nostrils flared. She doesn't exist. She does exist, I smacked my chest. She's right here. His eyes hardened. I sensed turbulence roiling under his hard exterior, anger at my entering his private domain, threaded with uncertainty. I latched on to that emotion and followed his gaze to where he stared fixedly at the painting on the easel. The woman bewildered him. I held up the blue paint tube. You first mixed this color at Stanford, an exact match to my eyes. You wanted something on each painting reminding you of me. I know it's sappy, but we'd never been apart longer than a few days. It was hard for us being separated while you were at school. You used this color as your signature paint, as you've been doing on your paintings downstairs. This is the color you've been trying to mix. I jiggled the container, the thick goo sloshing inside. The only reason you got this hue is because you, as Carlos, finally saw my eyes. He looked at me, as though seeing me for the first time. His gaze drifted over every inch of my body, rising to my face. He didn't say anything. I dropped the paint tube on the table. Carlos swallowed.
What happened to him?
I scratched my nail on the wood table and took a deep breath. James went to Cancun on a business trip to take a client fishing. There was an accident on the boat, and he went missing. His brother brought James's remains home after his body had been located. The memorial service was on our wedding day, 17 months ago. I turned toward the window and stared at the ocean beyond the low rooftops.
Why are you still looking if he's dead?
Carlos asked behind me.
Why here, when he died on the other side of the country?
I had reason to believe you hadn't died, and I received...
information, you'd be here.
I turned back to him. I don't know exactly what happened to your face, so you look different, and I don't know what happened to your memory, so you forgot me. But I've found you. I've located the missing paintings, and I've seen your paintings of me. You are James. I just don't know how to help you find yourself again. Don't you have any memories of us? Anything at all?
He shook his head. Then will you come home with me? Maybe familiar surroundings will trigger your memories, help you get them back.
He remained quiet, lips pressed tight. But I knew his mind was working overtime. Was he trying to remember, searching for something familiar about me?
Please say something, I begged.
He closed his eyes momentarily, erasing the uncertainty and questions I saw reflected in them.
I'm sorry for your loss, but I'm not James. I can't be. I have a life here, friends, family, my sister Imelda.
I gasped. Imelda Rodriguez?
You know her.
I know who she is, I growled, stunned how the dots were connecting. What was going on?
Think, 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 I rubbed my temples.
Carlos folded his arms across his chest and inhaled sharply.
I think you should leave.
What? Why?
You need to leave, now,
he ordered. I held my ground for the space of two heartbeats. He didn't budge, or change his mind, stubborn as he'd always been. When he didn't say anything further, I crossed the room and stopped in the doorway.
I don't know what Imelda has told you, but she's not your sister. You have a brother and his name is Thomas. You also have a fiancé.
You're wrong.
In this case, I am absolutely right.
I ran from Carlos and to the beach. I had to clear my head. Sinking onto the sand, I turned my face into the wind, hoping the breeze would blow away the pain. The pain of rejection, the pain of betrayal, and the pain of everything that had been lost to us.
Chapter 24. A short time later, I returned to the resort and ordered a Mai Tai and two shots of tequila at the beach bar. I downed all three and collapsed on a lounge chair near the water where I waited for the numbness to set in. I fucked up with Carlos and royally screwed Ian. Carlos didn't want to see me again, and there was no doubt in my mind Ian was crazy with worry, looking for me. Sleep sounded much better than dealing with the mess I'd created. Rolling onto my stomach, I skimmed fingers along the sand, burrowing deeper to fist the coolness underneath. My knuckles kneaded the soft granules, the same rhythmic pattern I used when baking, and my alcohol-infused brain took me to Amy's kitchen. I stood alongside Mandy, laughing, planning the day's menu as we pounded dough for the morning's baked goods. The beach's salt-infused air hinted of the sea salt we sprinkled on the pastries, the sand between my fingers as smooth as the silky texture of dough, sliding underneath my palms. Like the dough Mom had first taught me to mix. And with the thought of Mom, my mind traveled back further, back to Mom's kitchen, where the scent of freshly baked apple pie permeated the air, and I sat on a stool beside a boy I once knew. He sprinkled sugar crystals over my head. Magic memory dust. He'd told me I would never forget him. If only it were the same for him. I wept, squeezing my fists tight, sand oozing between my fingers like dough. Soon my whimpers subsided and the numbness took over, my body succumbing to sleep. When I woke, sluggish and disoriented, I trudged up the steps to the hotel with the intention of grabbing a few more hours' sleep in my room. I couldn't think straight, and at the moment, avoiding my problem seemed like the best plan. I cut through the pool area toward the main lobby. Amy! I jolted. Ian marched across the patio. I walked faster. He jogged ahead and blocked my way.
You left.
I stared at his chest. Last night never should have happened.
Bullshit!
He roughly ran both hands through his hair and lowered his voice.
Look at me, please.
I lifted my face. Rejection masked his, and I cried inside. I'd done that to him. I almost reached out, but stopped myself.
It was a mistake, Ian. I'm sorry. Forget it happened.
It was the best night.
He swallowed and looked over my shoulder. His nostrils flared before he returned my gaze. The lines on his face deepened.
I will never